Come here, bitch. Stand and deliver.
That's right, folks. This is Stand and Deliver recap from NXT's Night 1 and Night 2. This is Matthew All-Star Jones tagging up with your boy, the Supervisor.
Boom, boom.
Boom.
Time to clock in.
Time to clock in. So we put a clock in on Night 1 and Night 2 of NXT's Stand and Deliver takeover. This was a Wednesday and Thursday night show. No, was it Wednesday, Thursday night?
Yeah, Wednesday on USA, Thursday on Peacock.
Gotcha. So, with that being said, let's get right into it. So, we know we had Zoe Stark versus Toni Storm. I know Zoe won, but I didn't get to see that particular match. Did you get to see that one?
Are you talking about Io Shirai versus Toni Storm?
No. Zoe Stark versus...
That must have been on the pre-show.
Yeah, it was a pre-show match. I guess you didn't get that one.
Nobody watches the pre-show.
Somebody watched it. Miss it, but somebody watches it.
Some of us have lives, you know. We got other things to do. Well, we gotta keep our time relative to things that are like main show.
Okay. Well, I believe
I only got main show time.
All right. Well, I would have watched it if I caught it, but I didn't catch it. So we're going to move on past that. So then we have the first Pete Dunne defeating Kushida.
Okay.
This was the match that turned to better on that brand. I thought this was a pretty good match. Wasn't long, wasn't dragged out, you know, straight to the point. Yo, Pete Dunne is brutal, son.
He is. Here's where I have a problem with this match, right? Actually, this is what I have a problem with all of Night 1. And you're going to see a theme through all of Night 1. And this is what I hate. If it wasn't another match doing this, then I probably wouldn't be harping on this. The hand play. There was an issue with a hand in every match on Night 1. Think about it. Well, when you get to Walter versus Ciampa.
Okay. Well, that made sense because... that makes sense. All
right. Right. But then you think about it. So... you had the hand issues in the Kushida match. You had the hand issues in the Walter match. I believe even Io showed some hand issues in her match.
But that wasn't a big sign. Like, it wasn't like the be all end all. It wasn't the result of the match being lost.
No, but how does everybody have that same story being told in all their matches?
I mean, it was about that four or five matches that night. I don't think everyone ended with the hand.
I didn't say they all. Well, I'm just saying they all told that same. Story.
I don't think so. But maybe I wasn't
some hand issue.
Maybe I'll give you two. I'll give you Kushida and Walter, but I don't know about the other ones. I might have to go back and check that out again. But I didn't see that. Like I said, the Kushida match I got because Pete Dunne, they both their arms. Or both their submissions revolve around the other person's arms. So, I get that. Pete Dunne, when he steps on their back of their arm, and he like puts their hand down and he steps on the back of the arm, that always makes me cringe.
That looks nasty. That looks like it really is.
Yeah, it's like
a freaking arm. Now, I assume he's...
It all depends on the other person, like, because he is watching the guy here. He's watching his leg come down, so he kind of like slides his hand at the same time. So it like the motion, the bracing of it looks nasty. But there was one that he took that he did, Pete Dunne did too on Kushida. The second one he did, it didn't look like he moved his arm fast enough. And it looked like he like could have broke that bad. But I was like, oh my God, like he was like a second late. Kushida was able to put it down, but it was like a second late and it looked like he could have snapped it. And there was a move that Pete Dunne did. I can't remember what it was, but he was on the ropes. And he did something to Kushida, which like caused his arm. Oh, when he did the arm bar back on the ropes. Mm, I was like, yeah. Jesus, bro. This dude is so the dude's crazy, bro. Like, you know what I'm saying? You gotta be that and the other person gotta be just as crazy, like, yo, just do this to my arm. Not like I need it or anything. You know what I'm saying? Like
right. Right. Like this is an important body part.
So that was crazy to me. Now Pete Dunne getting the W, I don't really see any issues with that. Here's my thing with NXT superstars: a dub and a loss does not hurt as bad. Like it does to me, it doesn't feel much of an impact. Like if they take an L, you know what I'm saying? As long as they put out a solid match, it doesn't hurt. People are still going to be like, okay, it doesn't hurt him in the rankings or whatever like that, because. You know, the rankings in wrestling revolves around fan base, how much a fan particularly likes you. You know what I'm saying? So if they take an L, it doesn't really hurt because, you know, the fans like that person. So it's like, okay, well, I can see him losing to this person. You know what I'm saying? It's respectable. You know.
See that. But at the end, I still would have rather had Kushida win.
How so? Like, why? Why do you feel like Kushida should have won? Did he have more? Did he have momentum that should have been kept building? Or
they were working on him. They were making him back. He had a mean streak. You know, he was working matches. You know, the last couple of takeovers, he was working high profile matches, and I could see this being a win over Pete Dunne because at the end of the day, Pete Dunne still has some. Prestige in his name after that NXT UK title reign. You know what I'm saying? So beating a Pete Dunne probably would have done more for Kushida than Pete Dunne beating a Kushida does for him.
But they both have momentum, so it's like it's kind of like a toss-up. You know what I'm saying? Like,
right. But to your point, I think Pete probably could have eaten the loss better. Not that they both couldn't eat the loss, but I think Pete probably would have eaten the loss better without a hint of negative outcome.
I guess. I mean, because, like you said, Kushida was gone for a while because of injury. Wasn't it? Wasn't he gone for a while for injury? So, right. And then he comes back and
Yeah, he was gone, I think
his momentum... His momentum was taken away from him when he lost to Gargano. Ever since he lost to Gargano, like that shot his momentum downwards. Like it hurt him. That L hurt him, and it just showed itself in this match also. Like, you know what I'm saying? He already took a loss to Gargano, so he could take another one. You know what I'm saying? Like, so I think
right. That's why I'm saying if he had beat Dunne. Would have helped him more,
but would it put him back in the title picture? No, I don't think it put it back. Puts him like moving forward in the title picture. It's just he gets a dub over Pete Dunne.
I think it would have. Mm-hmm. I would have got him at least closer.
Yeah, but at the extent of just taking another L again, moving forward against Gargano, if they decide to have Gargano with a long title run, I mean,
we see that with. What happens on the next night.
Yeah, that's true. But, you know, like I said, once again, solid match. I didn't have any issues. Me personally, before Daniel Bryan decides to hang up the boots, he needs to go against Pete Dunne. Make it a Survivor Series match, something they need to have a clashing. I do kind of care what you do, because this is kind of like this is between a SummerSlam, Survivor Series, WrestleMania main event match or match in general. They need to go at it. You know what I'm saying? The best technical wrestler for NXT, the best technical wrestler of WWE, clash. You know what I'm saying? Like,
yeah, that would actually be, yeah, that would be a crazy,
because the stuff that Pete Dunne does, I think Daniel Bryan was doing this in his heyday. You know what I'm saying? Like, he hasn't really done it now because he's kind of like, to me, transformed into the WWE world of the way they work. You know what I'm saying? But he would Pete Dunne would force him to dig into, to go back to the old Daniel Bryan, the American Dragon Daniel Bryan. You know what I'm saying? Because he's gonna have to dig deeper going against Pete Dunne. And that's what I want, is somebody to force you to step, you know, and to step back into your old self and put out an instant classic. And so I think he would be the perfect person to have, make him go back to his older self and make Daniel Bryan go back to his old American Dragon self and put out a 5-star match. Not saying that Daniel Bryan doesn't put out 5 stars, but I'm saying, like, if you had to just go all out for one match outside of this, outside of his WrestleMania match coming up that we're going to talk about in a couple of days, but this would be it. This would be another Monday he would have to go all out for. So
I can see that. I would love to see that. I would love to see that. But, you know,
they'll find a way, because if they did, you know, Adam Cole versus Daniel Bryan, and Adam Cole and Seth Rollins, they'll find a way. They'll find a way. We just gotta have a little bit of trust that they will make they'll hear us and they will make that pull that trigger on that. Yeah.
Well, we could only hope.
So, moving on to the next match, we have the Gauntlet, which Bronson Reed comes out the victor in. And I'm not upset about it. I'm not upset by him winning. I don't have any issues. I don't have any issues with him winning.
I'm not either.
I didn't really see anybody else, because technically he was really like the only face in that whole match.
Well, I would have expected Dexter Lumis.
Yeah, Dexter would have been another one that I would have wanted to see, because, you know, he came before Braun. So right. I would have liked to see him get... he's got a title match, though, right? Against Gargano.
I think so. I think it was on... But I think it was only on...
A TV taping.
NXT. Yeah, it wasn't
okay. On NXT. So I think... Either or, I would have tossed it, like you said, like for you, either or would have been a good pick for me.
Right. And for me, seeing the people in the match, it really was only those two as really an option.
Yep. Because LA Knight.
Once LA Knight eliminated Lumis, then it became very clear that it was going to be Bronson.
Yo. That move that Bronson did before the splash, that is brutal.
He's deceptively quick and deceptively agile for a man that size. But let me tell you, when he has shown in his matches that there is something that is kind of just mean about the way he handles people.
I mean, he doesn't look like anybody else. I feel like when he first got into it, he was really green, but he's really, he's improved a lot since improved. You know, like, his first time.
I would, like, honestly, I can see him filling that Mark Henry role.
Okay.
On the main roster, you know, and I'm not talking about the early Mark Henry role. I'm talking about the late Hall of Pain Mark Henry role. Mm. That monster that just comes in unforgiving, destroys everybody, lets them know who he is, and just, you know, doesn't matter if you like him or you hate him, he's just gonna be that beast.
I just hope they don't do him like they did the other guy that he went to NXT, but they had him doing the funky pterodactyl or something like that with the
Brutus.
Yes. Yeah, I just hope that if they ever decide to move him to the main roster, like, they don't go down that route, because that'd just be another waste of solid talent. You know what I'm saying? Like, If they wanted recreate Vader through him, I wouldn't have an issue with that either. Like, if they wanted to do a new Vader and just, but I wouldn't have an issue with that either. But I always, you know, I'm always fearful when people move up to the main roster and they, like, because of their track record with the main roster talent. But, and I said, for all intents and purposes, like, the finish of the match was incredible. You know what I'm saying? My man Swerve caught him with three of those flying kicks to the head, and like, I think he ate at all three of them.
Yeah.
He ate all three of them. I was like, yo, his jaw got to be pushed sideways, bro, because there's no way he's eating them bad boys. And it's like, please, sir, can I have another? And I was like, heesh. But then when he finally got up and what's his name popped him in the face and he turned around and slapped him, my man collapsed. I was like, God. My man folded like a folding chair, bro.
That damn thing echoed. Echoed throughout that whole the Capitol Wrestling Center. That thing just like a shotgun. Mm-hmm.
I said, he got popped. And I said, okay. And he turned around and popped him back. I said, my man folded. And then he just scooped him up into the power bomb. And then turned it down into whatever you want to call it, sit down, whatever you want to call them. I can't even, I don't even fit the name to it yet. But he just like picks him up. And I thought he was going to go for the Alabama slam, but then he just jumps up. I'm like, bro, if his head was under your butt, all of that would be crushed, bro. But then he goes for the splash and he wins the match. So I'm like, I'm cool with that. But he went into a match with an injury.
Yeah.
Which was.
I don't know. Like I said, it was a good match. It was a good multi-man match. You know, I like the whole Cameron Grimes paying people to help him out. But. You know, I don't know. I think, like I said, I think there's going to be big things from Bronson. I just hope that, you know, like to your point, they don't screw him up. They don't make him dance.
I only think I can think of dance to make him dance. Oh, I'm probably saying it wrong, but it's still funny.
I mean, they call him Sick Boy now. So, I mean, he's one step away from all that.
So, moving on to the next one, which was the UK World title. Walter defeating Ciampa for the belt. The one thing I noticed that the commentators were talking, they were like, is he going to be the old Ciampa, the Black Heart Ciampa? Is he going to go back to his, you know, his ways when he won Cody to go around? And
I don't think he went that full level. I mean, like, he definitely was hitting and hitting a lot harder than he was in his couple matches in the past. But I'm gonna tell you right now, I didn't feel that old Blackheart Ciampa. But I'm gonna tell you, any of these Walter matches that you see always make me feel uncomfortable. And I mean that in the best way possible, because they are just, they're going in on each other. Did you see Walter's chest at the end of the match? It was purple.
Purple.
His chest was purple.
Purple rain. And somebody just gave him to do a purple nurple, and it just went through his whole chest.
And then, it was like everything from nip to nip, all purple. And then, just some of the moves that he was landing on Ciampa.
Ciampa was
landing on his.
Before I even get to the finish, let's talk about him chopping this table, announce table in half. Well, at least the top part of it. Let's talk about that. How you slap a table so hard that you split that bad boy?
Do you think that's that was a working table, or do you think
I don't know.
Legit.
My wrestling mind is telling me, or let me say this: my worker mind is telling me that it was placed there. You know what I'm saying? That all of that was, you know, staged for him to do that, to give us the facade that his hand's so strong that he could split a table in half. That's like watching that little girl punch a tree. You know what I'm saying?
So, yeah, I think it was real.
You think so?
I think he really did split that table. Only because, yeah, only because there was reports of in the indies of Walter making people's chest bleed with that right hand chop. And you hear those chops. Like when he chops at his full hardest with that hand,
yeah. But I mean, I've heard others too. You know, Bully Ray was really good at chops. Bullies hit people and made their chest bleed. I've seen.
I'm just telling you, Walter. I don't think. I think his chops might be some of the hardest out there. If not the hardest.
Big Show might be a top three. Who else is pretty good at chops, man? Like, you know, I think the one thing that's fascinating about Walter is the fact that something so simple as a chop is what you focus on. Mm-hmm. Yeah,
it's
as simple as a chop.
It's devastating.
And I think that, you know, I don't know if anybody else has talked about this, but just now sitting back and watching it, to think that we've gotten to the point in wrestling that a chop is that devastating. But the fact that I think that it's from a guy who weighs almost 280 pounds, give or take.
Right. But you gotta think, like, that took time, that took effort to train the fans to go, you get a chop, all right, that's fine. You got a Walter chop, how are you still alive? You know, that's the conditioning, you know, the selling for those chops, the way his matches are structured, you know, those simple moves and the power he puts behind it. Just becomes, yeah, he doesn't need anything fancy. All he needs to do is catch you with that chop or that lariat or hit you with that sick German that he hits.
Yeah, I mean, I can't think of, yeah, you're right. I can't think of anybody else right now that does something as simple as a simple move and is devastating to the point where it's like, you know, you can't do a vertical suplex and make that devastating because everybody does it. You know, or I can't see a vertical suplex be that devastating, or a body slam. Something is so simple that's been done for so long, but generates the generations. You know what I'm saying? And for somebody as Walter to come in and take a chop, and I'm going to make this the most devastating move ever, you know what I'm saying? It's gonna get to the point where you're gonna be like, you can't chop in the ring no more. Yeah. Like super kicks, like we're trying to like get people to stop doing super kicks. Right. You know what I'm saying? But it's gonna get to the point where we gotta stop telling people to do chops.
I mean, it is what it is. But I mean, like, you ever get the one things? I mean, everybody has super kicks, but did you get hit with a sweet chin music? You get what I'm saying?
But the only thing that's different between a sweet chin music and a super kick is the name and the person and the person taking it. The person giving
that's it. All it is. And the person giving it. And that's where it comes down. And that's what I'm saying. Walter's chops are on that. I think that his chops are on that sweet chin music level. Anybody can give a chop. And you're going to sit there like, no, that's a chop. But did you get hit with a Walter chop? A Walter chop will end the match. A sweet chin music will end the match.
So we're now going to get to the point that every big man who comes in and who does a chop is going to get to that Walter chop. It's going to get to that Walter level.
Well, You know what? But that's the standard. About Walter,
he set the standard.
He's the one that people have to compare to. Yep. He set the standard. And I, you know, it sounds like we're riding on Walter right now, and I don't care because he is probably one of the best workers right now. Like, watch his match. Watch all his matches. I know I got on the hand thing or anything, but he was really good at selling the hand after it went through the table. Every time he used it, he flinched, even after he won the match. And that's another thing that I hate when wrestlers do. After they win the match, whatever that was, whatever it was, the injury during the match is no longer an injury. You know? But even when he was up there celebrating with Imperium, he still made sure to sell.
The hand was a story. It was a story. Yeah, you're absolutely right. You know, a lot of, like I said, I think back in the Bronson Reed match, I think he was selling the stomach because the stomach was the biggest factor for him. You know, he was selling the stomach that it.
Right. And night one was the selling point
of what needed to focus. And that was my own, okay, he's going to lose because of that stomach. And so that's what was in my mind. Now, and then going back to the Walter match, like you said, after he slapped the table and he hurt his hand doing that, Ciampa didn't really take advantage of that to me. He should have went all in it.
No. He only touched the hand when it was
like, I would have took the hand, throw it into the ring post, threw it on the table, threw it on the chair. I just would have broke his hand. I mean, I think he did try to split his fingers at one point. Or maybe I'm thinking of the Pete Dunne match, but
yeah. But again, that was him trying to get out of.
Okay. Because I thought more than once, but I was like,
that. Yeah. But see, Pete Dunne's finger things made sense because Pete Dunne always does finger.
But Ciampa doing it was like out of desperation. Like he had to. He had to take the hand out of the picture. And he did. At one point, he did. But you know what? To be honest with you, I never felt that Ciampa would win that match. At no point, I didn't feel Ciampa was going to win.
No, Walter was. Like, I like this match. Don't get me wrong. But I felt I liked the Walter Dragunov match a lot better. And if you haven't seen that match,
I'm gonna have to go check it out. I haven't seen that one.
Go watch that match. That match, you feel like you're watching a snuff film. Walter is a murderer for 25 minutes.
I don't want to see. I don't want to be a witness to a murder. That's the question. I don't want to be. Don't want to be a witness to a murder.
Oh no. Go watch that match. It's probably the hardest match WWE's
like in ever or in the modern era.
Like, I mean, probably in the modern era. I mean, back in the day, they were like doing stupid shit, and they were doing all that on cocaine. So, like, maybe in the modern era.
Okay.
I mean, like, if you want to see. Probably what a WWE style Japanese style on the match would be. Watch that match.
How did you feel about the finish with him winning with that chop? Were you okay with that? Because I mean,
yeah. Because again, he still sold it, and you could tell that was his finish. Like that was it. Like he was gonna. That was the way he was gonna take him down. If I'm gonna use this hand. Because after he had put his hand through the table, he kept trying to chop with his left. And his left was still powerful, but obviously not as powerful as that right hand. So, you know, the sick, nasty, half full Nelson suplex into the then turnaround into the running chop. You know, as soon as I saw that, I'm like, yeah, that's it. That's over. He put the power in that hand.
Throughout the whole match, you have to remember, he didn't get hit by that right-handed chop at any point of this match, did he? Okay. So then it makes sense. All right. Because no. I was... you know, because I'm just trying to recollect everything. You know, he didn't get hit with the right-handed chop at all in this match, so he avoided it until the very end. He couldn't avoid it. Now, before the chop came, there was moves that Walter did, like the neck twist, the neck bites with his feet. I had never seen that. I've never seen that before.
That's interesting. I've seen that before, but that's an old school.
Okay, right? See, I've seen people stump with their face, you know what I'm saying? Like, you know, stump with their face so they mess with their eye, but I've never seen them take their feet and cross and twist. That's the first time for me, you know what I'm saying? And so for him,
that's a very old school move. Mm-hmm.
Which speaks volumes to Walter, because he does feel like an old school wrestler. Like, he doesn't feel like part of this.
Oh, yeah.
Like, if you were to play 2K19 or whatever new WWE game, and they say, hey, bring some old school wrestlers to the modern era, that you had to create your own. No. If you had to create a modern wrestler using the old school style, he would be that person.
Yeah. If you sent Walter back to the early 80s or 70s, I think he'd fit right in.
Just think putting him in matches against William Regal.
Oh yeah,
yo,
yeah. Oh yeah, they would go. They'd still be fighting each other.
they'd be fighting like
right now.
Like, yeah, they'd still be fighting like Titans going at it. Like, if you want to say gods of wrestling, they would be the gods of wrestling, just duking it out every day, bro.
They would have started back in 1979, and they wouldn't have finished until now. Regal was old school even for the time.
Yes, he was. He was.
And he was what, early 90s when he was in that in WCW, and then mid to late 90s, jumping back and forth between WCW and WWE. You know, he was a heel. He was always the heel, but he got the heat. He knew how to.
Well, he wasn't always a heel at one point. I remember him with the Eugene spots.
No. Well, also he was a man's man.
Yeah. Now, you know, his only downfall was him kissing Vince McMahon's butt. I think that would be his one big downfall of his career. Was that? But you know, outside of that, Regal was fine. I was a fan of Regal. I ain't gonna say huge. I was a fan of Regal and his work.
I was a fan of Regal.
So let's get right into it. The main event was the women's NXT title, Io Shirai versus Raquel, which Raquel comes out the victor, and she is now the new women's champion. I'm gonna let you go first because I'm still trying to collect myself here.
Okay. Well, I can say this, that apparently these two entered into some sort of murder pact before they got into the match. Because they just said, let's see who can try to kill each other first. But I will say, I think it was a very good match. I think it was the right call to have Raquel win. They were giving her that slow burn build for quite some time now. So it makes sense to build her up right here at this WrestleMania level and takeover that they're trying to portray. Io Shirai, still probably one of my favorite moonsaults ever. She does probably my favorite moonsaults. Her jumping off of the skull, I thought she broke her legs. Because she hit, her legs landed onto the mesh first before Raquel and her, I think, finished the bump. Raquel, oh my god, the slam that Raquel gave her on the outside.
On the floor, or are you talking about on the stage?
On the floor. On the floor. You know where she does that one-handed powerbomb? Yeah. When she gave that to Io.
Would you consider that a one-handed powerbomb or just a one-handed choke slam?
I don't know. Like, is she choking her? Because it looks like she's like sitting on her arm. As
I mean, she's like scoops her up. She's like choking. She has her in the air like a chokeslam, and she just comes straight down. So I mean, I consider that like kind of like a Big Show chokeslam, old school. I wouldn't consider it a power bomb, I mean, just because you know she's not like crouching her down and flipping her upwards.
I guess
This is a one arm chokeslam. Just
always to me looked like it was some sort of
I'm happy Raquel won. I mean, I was a huge fan of Io Shirai, but
right,
her losing the title, it didn't hurt her losing. I didn't feel like it was gonna hurt her losing that belt. And
she had it for
her. Yeah, she had it. She had a really good run. I don't think she had a bad run at all. But she just, I don't know. Every match I felt expected the winner that won, I expected them to win. It wasn't like something shocking happened where it was like, really? That happened? You know what I'm saying? Like, you know, so
right.
I guess I'm not mad about it, but I guess I'm just WWE has got me accustomed to everything being just switcheroo, you know, and for something to just to go as planned, right. You know what I'm saying? It's kind of like, it's not the norm anymore.
You know, and I think that's the problem. We keep projecting the terrible behaviors that we have to, you know, display when we watch Raw and SmackDown and the pay-per-views onto NXT, and then we always go, well, where's the screw? Where's the screw job? Mm-hmm. Where did this happen? And we realize, oh, because it is different than the main product. They're actually trying to be a wrestling show.
Yeah. It's not like WWE isn't. It's just like everything is changing on the fly, and nothing is staying the same. And there's everybody
the same. There's no
And then everybody has to like figure out what the hell is going on, like why is this happening? You know what I'm saying? Would I have been mad if Io Shirai would have won? No, I wouldn't have been mad. No. Okay, because we know Raquel's still green, and I think Io Shirai calling out Raquel was to catch her off guard.
She's not the first one she's called out. Like I think she called out Rhea Ripley. She's the one been laying out challenges.
Rhea's already been champion, and Raquel has not. So Raquel, in her mind, may have thought that she was ready to be, you know, ready for a title match. But when you finally get that match, you know what I'm saying? You know, it's different. Like for her to challenge her, you know, because the psyche in your mind, like, okay, maybe she thinks she can beat me. And so you put doubt in your mind. You know what I'm saying? So Raquel was working, the mind games was working against Raquel.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Io Shirai going out there challenging her, I think was just a whole ploy to catch her off game. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
But in the end, it didn't work. All the stuff that she did off the scalpings and all the skull from the WWE, here comes the pain, and then all this stuff like that, all the stuff that she did, and it was for naught because she still took an L.
Right.
You know. But hey, we'll see what.
Which, I mean, didn't I know Raquel was the one who got the pin at War Games, but didn't she get the pin on Io Shirai at War Games?
I think that was part of the promo show. Like she was the last man standing and she won the War Games. If you're correct, I think she did pin Io Shirai, but I can't remember it. So
I mean, there you go. There was the start of the story. That's what I'm saying. Like it was a slow burn because if we're talking about a pin that happened
in November, War Games,
going all the way now to April, where we're in the middle of Mania season, you know, yeah, they had EO busy with all these other people, and they were slowly building up Raquel in that background.
Like, that's, and you know what? Because at first I was upset that Raquel wasn't in the triple threat match with Toni Storm.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Because that could have been Raquel still been involved in that match. Like, I don't even understand how the other girl got, other lady got involved, but then they, because Raquel was already in line, I believe, for a title match. But somewhere that got mixed up. They put the other lady in there. And yeah, Mercedes, they put her in there. And I was just like, okay, what happened to Raquel? I thought she was next in line. But whatever be the case, she ended up, you know, finding a way back into the title picture. They gave her the tag team titles and then made her drop it as quickly as she got it. And then putting the title match on her. So I think somewhere down the line, there was a mix up. They were like, yo, we're screwing up here. Let's get back on track. But
I mean, it makes sense. They rounded the airport, but they finally came in for the landing.
Had to fly around the circles a couple of times until like the landing spot opened up.
Right. So, like I said, I wouldn't have been upset if it went the other way, but I think it was the right call to the crowd. Right.
So now with Io Shirai losing the belt, this might be her moving up to the main roster. So if you had to pick, what show would she go on? What would it be? You think she stays, or do you think she moves up?
If she moves up to the main roster, I think she should go to SmackDown.
Away from Asuka.
I feel she... Away from Asuka. But, and I say this because knowing them, they'll put her on Raw with Asuka and do the new Kabuki Warriors.
I don't know. I don't think she's that type. I don't think she's a tag team person.
I don't think we're tag team people either.
Well, no, the Kabuki Warriors. Kabuki Warriors, I saw, like, I can't think of her name that's gone now, but she never really had.
Kairi.
Yeah.
Kairi Sane.
Yeah, she never really had that, that for me. You know what I'm saying? That she could be a big singles impact star. I think her form of Asuka was the perfect match because Asuka wasn't really doing anything at the time anyways, but Asuka is truly naturally a singles competitor, and she works good either way, but I think she's better as a singles competitor. So I think they move her to Raw. I think they take her to send her to Raw to set up, like you said, the new Kabuki, but then she turns on her. It's like, I didn't come here for this. I came here.
That would be kind of cool, but that'd be too cool for WWE.
But I think Raw was where she would go. She had to go away from the people that she's already been working with. I think, but Rhea's on Raw too, right?
Right, Rhea's on Raw already. Because Rhea is facing Asuka, so that's why I say SmackDown.
But she has what's her name?
Bianca?
Yes.
Okay.
You cool with that?
I'm cool with that.
Okay. Well, I mean, I say you can start with SmackDown.
Because, I mean, you're thinking one person. I'm thinking then she also has to deal with Sasha. She has to deal with Bayley. She has to deal with Carmella. That's who I'm thinking she's going to have to go deal with.
And you think Raw doesn't have enough of the women's on there, too?
Right. So she goes to Raw. She's going to deal with Asuka. Rhea.
And Charlotte again.
And...
Yeah, you ain't got to name no more names, because ain't no more names to name. So, yeah, you right.
Alexa's over here in the Firefly Funhouse, so I don't know what's there.
Mm-hmm.
They don't use Nikki Cross for whatever reason. Lacey's pregnant. I don't know what they're doing with the women tag team champions.
Per storyline, yeah. Okay. Well, like I said, SmackDown would be the good. SmackDown would probably. I mean, even though they don't really need, they have a solid roster already on SmackDown, so Raw would need the help. But at this point, it, you know, it doesn't really matter because, you know, they're just all over the place.
Right. So, until they get people back on Raw, they really don't have much.
It'd be a short list. It'd be a short lineup of talent. Yeah. But I've always wanted to see Io Shirai go against Asuka. So I think that's why I would push for Raw, because I want to see Io and Asuka go at it. I think that's worth one of the three big shows: WrestleMania, SummerSlam, or Survivor Series.
You float around each other be every once in a while. Oh, you're still here.
Mm-hmm.
Until you get like more and more heat, and then you finally get something that can build that story to them going at it.
All right. So that was night one. So now we still got to get through night two, a whole other night with another couple of matches. So the first one was Fantasmo versus, I forgot the other dude's name. Help me out. Jordan Devlin.
Jordan Devlin.
Once again, another night. I saw all the matches going the way I predicted they would go. Fantasmo, the ladder match was solid. It was a solid ladder match. I mean, I've seen better, so I just, you know.
Yeah, which is kind of disappointing when you realize you have two cruiserweights in there.
Like, the only spot that was, like, legit was the Spanish fly off the ladder. And then the moonsault off the ladder.
That one.
I mean, he went straight to the top, you know. Let's see what else. What other? I mean, there was really nothing about that match that stood out. So, I mean, I'm actually happy Fantasmo won, because I wasn't really, he wasn't on my radar, but he is now.
So this match kind of helped get him.
He's on my list to keep an eye on, because, you know, since Andrade's gone and we haven't heard from Angel Garza in a minute, really didn't have any other Latinos that we can look at to watch.
I'm not saying I've noticed him before, like, don't get me wrong, like, he's had some good matches, which kind of, this is why I'm kind of disappointed in the ladder match, to be honest. But I don't know, he definitely has that
I love the group. You know what I'm saying? I love the group and the faction or whatever you want to call it. And I think this would be like, if this faction was on the main roster, I mean, it's good for the show it's on now, but if it was on the main roster, like, I could see it be like boom. You know what I'm saying? It would be better than the group that had Hot Juventud and somebody else riding around on lawnmowers. Yes, there you go. Mexicools. That was so disrespectful, bro.
Yeah.
You know, I'm just gonna leave that alone. I just think this the group is solid. It's a solid group. I like my boys. I don't know the other guy, but I know Zima Ion. He goes by another name now.
I mean, they were good.
Wait, their match was on the first show.
Their match was on.
Yeah, we skipped. I completely forgot about that one. So, you know, sorry, fans. We're going to go back and talk about that one real fast. So, the tag team match, quickly said, it was a great match. MSK, congrats for them winning the belt.
Grizzle Young.
Yeah, dude. Like, I feel bad for them, bro. Like, I think I
did too. Like, don't get me wrong. I thought MSK needed to win, right? They, you know, they were the Dusty Champions. It's very much that they're putting a lot behind them. They were going to win these tag titles. I would have thought the Phantasmas would have taken the pin, not the Grizzled Young Veterans, after the Grizzled Young Veterans losing the Dusty Cup. But having them take the pin is kind of like, all right, well, they lost twice to MSK. They're nowhere in this. Like, I don't want... There better not be a title shot for them soon.
It's to the back of the line for them.
They're done. Right. They are at the back of the line.
Yeah, I would have liked Phantasma to win. I want to see a tag team. Because it would have been nice for Phantasma to win night one, win the tag team gold. And then Phantasma to win the Cruiserweight title. Because then they have a squad with, you know, at least three of the belts. Or two of the mid titles.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? I think that would have been a solid. If you just think, if you add Raquel to that group, she's still good solo by herself. I'm not saying that. I'm just saying if you just were to add a group and build the faction even bigger. Like if Andrade was a comeback and was like, yo, I'll go back to NXT if you let me join up with Phantasmo's group.
Yeah. I mean, that's the one thing. We just don't know what their group is about other than just making sure that he has the Cruiserweight title. Like, they came together, but then they don't, like, have a cause, a goal.
I mean, the cause is they're the family. They're a family, man. I mean, he saw them for what he saw something in them back in the Cruiserweights, and he saw they were going nowhere, so he took them under his wing, and, you know... That's just like the tribal chief in his group. Jey Uso's only called to make sure that Roman Reigns keeps the title, bro. So it's the same thing, and the concept of it is still the same. So now going back into it. Now the only thing about the match that was not actually the match itself, but the ending of the match. For him to be a heel and his son to come on stage, so he kind of broke character a little bit.
Right.
Yeah, they kind of broke character a little bit.
It broke the heel thing, yeah.
I don't know if he's going to get in trouble for that or not. I mean...
No, I don't think so, because I was looking on their website, and they were posting pictures of him and his son and putting up articles about, oh, he had his son with it. You know. So I think you know, they don't let you do stuff like that without permission.
Hello? Yeah, yeah. Sorry, you broke up for a second.
Can you hear me?
So yeah. I hope he doesn't get in trouble for it. I mean, because you know the kid's gonna be a kid. You know what I'm saying? So.
Right. Vince finds the kid, but.
So. Yeah, I mean, but you know, that was it wasn't really that. Straight up.
Yeah, I've seen better ladder matches.
Actually,
I've seen worse ladder matches too. So I don't want to say it's a bad ladder match. I've definitely seen worse ladder matches. Yeah.
Ember Moon and Shotzi Black retain the titles. Not really too much to say into that.
No, and I'm gonna tell you the truth. There's not a single wrestler in that match that does something for me.
Mm-hmm.
Like, they're all good wrestlers, but I don't know. I just don't have a connection to Candice LeRae and her character. I don't have a connection to Ember Moon and her character. Or Shotzi and her character. You know, I like watching their matches and they're entertaining. It's just, you know, there's nothing there for me to root or to boo.
Actually, I root for Ember because this is a resurgence for her. You know, so I root for Ember.
Mm-hmm.
everybody else, I mean, it is what it is. So, I mean, I don't know. I really wasn't interested in this match, to be honest with you. It didn't pull me. It didn't gravitate me to sit back and watch it, like,
right,
and get my undivided attention. It's nothing. It's not against,
right,
you know. And I hate, because we're men, we're talking about women's matches and stuff like that, because, you know, but it's just, it did,
right. And there's nothing against it, because I've watched matches with each of those three names that I've, you know, that we said, and 5-star matches, great matches. I just, again, the characters that they got going on right now, the storyline that this is, it's just not doing it for me. I really had no interest in any of this.
And it's not, and you don't think it's because of the tag team belts or nothing like that. It's just,
you know, I just think, like, I don't know. I just don't think this was.
It should have been like a, you think it should have been a TV tape match, or like it was not.
I could have seen it. Yeah, if I saw this match on TV, I'm like, man, that's a good match.
I think that what the best way I said, this did not feel like a pay-per-view match. It didn't feel like a pay-per-view match. I think that's, you know what I mean? Out of one of the few matches that happened tonight,
right,
there's another match that I was really unimpressed with too. And I think it's the next match. I think it's the next one we want to talk about too, which would be Balor and Cross.
But wasn't the next one,
you're right,
Gargano and Reed?
I'm all over the place here. Gargano and Reed.
I like this one too. I did like this one. I was hoping for a Bronson Reed win. I was hoping for a Bronson Reed title reign. But I can see why Johnny won. I think it made sense. I think the story that they told made sense. I loved the moonsault that Bronson attempted to hit. Gave me Vader. Vader vibes. But
here's my thing. This will always bother me for wrestling, is if you know you're injured in a particular spot, why would you attempt a move like that per se? It's gonna hurt you. Yes, don't do something that's gonna
hurt
you.
That area.
You know what I'm saying? Like, it makes no sense to me. And I understand that wrestling is not about making sense half the time, but anybody else and somebody brand new watching it is gonna be like, why the hell would he do a move like that knowing his stomach hurts? And I think that'll always be a factor. That would always be a factor for me. Always. Like we talked about the Walter match in night one. He didn't use his right hand until the very last minute. You know what I'm saying? He waited until he felt the right moment in the right time. And I don't know if Bronson Reed thought this was the right moment in the right time. He could have thought the same thing. You know what I'm saying? But he did have a lot of moves that he did that really affected that general area. You know, so you would just try to stay away from stuff like that.
Right. I mean, they didn't have to do this part of the story where Bronson has the ribs hurting, because if we're not gonna sell it, like, to your point, then it really didn't make sense to sell it.
I mean, he sold it once it got started, he sold it. Once he got hurt,
right? Once he sold it. Okay, well, he sold it after he did the table spot.
Yeah, well, that
where Gargano pushed him into the edge of the table. He sold it for a little bit there. Then he started doing, again, to your point, he started doing moves that, you know, would have hurt that area if it was really hurt. Didn't sell. Then started selling it again near the end to justify, you know, the weakness. And then, you know, like, so it wasn't consistent. So,
you know, but I said, if I had continued doing wrestling like I said I was going to do, maybe I could explain a little bit better of why that happens. But I'm only from looking up from the outside in, it's just like, I would never do a move that I'm hurting in. You know, I guess their mindset is I got to stick to the game plan. This works. Like, adapt to the situation, what's going on. Like, you are hurting in a particular spot,
right,
and there is a target. You got to get them away from that target. You know what I'm saying? And then if you feel like this is the moment you need to do this and you have no other choice, like, I guess, okay. But he had other options. He didn't have to go on the top rope. You know what I'm saying? That was, you know, you had other options, bro. Right. Just go back and do a move that you did already before. Do something different. Like, that didn't need to be the option. And he set himself up. And I think that was, you know, that's him still being a rookie. Maybe his first title match. And he just felt like he had to go all out. You know what I'm saying? So, I mean, I give him props that he fought through all the pain and stuff like that. But just would I have done a moonsault off the top rope? Nah.
No.
Yeah.
But he did.
You know,
being his size,
he got as much of the full rotation as he needed to. But he said Gargano came out with the dub. So we're still trying to figure out who.
After what was that?
Two.
It was three DDTs.
Two, like, back to back. So he did the first one, and he went back up and did the second one. So, okay. But now we can finally get into Finn Balor and Karrion Kross. And
right.
I think Karrion Kross is going to run into the same issue that Goldberg runs into. And I know they're two, and they're two different characters, but I just think Karrion Kross is not as explosive as Goldberg. And for the character that they're trying to build, it doesn't fit. You know what I'm saying? I guess it just doesn't fit the persona. You know, Karrion Kross is supposed to come into as this devastating, you know, destructive force. Like when he first came into the picture, then he got hurt. And then going into the match itself, I know Finn was playing my games, like, oh, your stuff's not hurting. You know, all this stuff that you're doing, it's not hurting, whatever like that. It's just something about Karrion that sometimes I feel like he could be more explosive, but he isn't.
Uh-huh. And I don't know much about Karrion to have, you know, an opinion just yet, because I really didn't know him much from before he got signed, and then he got signed, and, you know, obviously they built him as this just monster, and, you know, the presentation was really cool too, don't get me wrong. And then, you know, he wins the title, but gets hurt winning the title. I was also upset that he won the title off of Keith Lee. But that was just me. But, you know, he got hurt in that match and had to drop the title. So I really, beyond that one match, and then the match, I want to say it was from the last big event that NXT did where he faced Phantasma.
That Phantasma was really the only two matches I really like to get him back into shape.
Right. It was the, you know, let's remind you how mean and just nasty this guy is. But like I said, but two matches still don't give me a whole profile on that.
I didn't really know too much about him before here. Yeah, go ahead, finish it.
So for me, I was gonna say for me. So for me, the verdict is out on Karrion. Like, it's not. It's still out on Karrion Kross for me. I don't have one way or the other if, you know, to me that he's in the right spot or not in the right spot. But the presentation that they give him says that he's in the right spot. So, you know, they don't always give somebody that, that shotgun right out of the bat when they sign him. So I gotta believe that he's somebody.
And he might and he might be. It's just like watching this match, I just really wasn't like, this match didn't pull me in. It didn't make me feel like I needed it, like it's undivided attention. I get it. The NXT title's on the line. I get it. The promo tape shows that they both injured their right shoulder and they had to relinquish the title. You know what I'm saying? And I get it.
Right. And that was a
long... They went into the details of the workouts and all this extra stuff. And that was cool to see. All that was cool. You know, but just the promo setup, like we always talk about promos, it's supposed to set up this match, and I didn't feel like the match didn't give me everything. And even the finish was kind of like, the finish was kind of black.
Yeah. I don't know. I kind of like the finish with Karrion just beating his back like he owed him money, just laying those forearms into his back. And then just finishing it from there, because he could have basically just beat the bricks off him. But it was a long time just to get up to that, and there was a lot in there. And like to your point, you had Finn at the beginning, kind of just like, I'm not going to sell your stuff because I don't want you. Mm-hmm. You know, I'm trying to play this mind game with you. But I don't know. I don't think they had a long enough build to flesh out why the mind games were going to be important in this, or why they needed to be so aggressive with each other. You know, the trope of, oh, I want to get back something I didn't lose, like, it's so played out now. Like, yeah, I get it. But in the past year, so many people lost titles that they didn't technically, you know, lose, but I need something more to care about, because I didn't really have anything to go off of your title reign for me to care in that first place. You know what I'm saying? Like for Finn, when he won when he was the first winner of the Universal title, we knew who he was. We saw what he did in NXT. And we were excited to see his call up to the main roster, and then they were going to put the title on him right off the bat. And then he got hurt. So there was that anger of, we want to see him get what he never lost. But with Karrion, he came in without much build into the way of, we didn't see that progression. We don't know what he could have given us. We don't know what impact he would have. So when he got hurt and lost the title, it was still kind of, all right, well, that was going to be you showing us who you were.
I think for me, it's just like the story that they tried to tell in the match was just, it didn't interest me at all. I think it's more of the story of it and, you know, him trying to make it his composure. Yeah, like, I guess because they had no chemistry.
Those two,
the worst thing is to have a match with somebody that you don't have chemistry with, and you're trying to build chemistry as this match is going.
Yeah, and it's terrible when you know you have two top competitors like that.
Yeah.
And the chemistry just isn't there. You know?
No.
It just happens sometimes. And it's not really their fault. It's not really. They did what they you know, you can see that he put the effort there. Just, you know, there was something. Well,
hopefully, if they go a round two, hopefully it'll be better. And maybe they worked out the kinks and they can gel a little bit better. I think it was just, there was no gelling, but it looked like they were working together, but it was like working together, if that makes any sense. Like, we're working together, but we're not working together. Like, you can work with a coworker at work, but hate this guy and not like this person. You know what I'm saying? But you're working with them because we have the same goal. And at the end, the goal is to put people on a ride or serve or whatever it is. And that's what they did. They did what they were supposed to do, but it just didn't feel there was no connection between them.
but you yeah, guys and just I aren't think if that was a turn up for me.
I mean, I may have to go back and watch it again, but I just that was what I pulled. That's what I took from it. And at the same time, I thought this should have been the main event, but agree. Now I know why.
I agree.
This wasn't the action because you always feel like the title match should be the main event. You know what I'm saying? But mm-hmm. Yeah, but after watching the match, I was kind of like, really? You're gonna put this match as the main event? You know, what we're talking about now is the Adam Cole and Kyle O'Reilly unsanctioned match. You know, I didn't think this should have been the main event, but after seeing everything they did to each other, it makes perfect sense now. Like, but two, like I said, we always talk about two best friends. The amount of damage you're allowed to do to your best that you would do to somebody you call a friend. You know what I'm saying? This is right.
And that's the only way you get those type of matches off the ground like that. What? You have to trust that other person like they are your brother mm-hmm. to be able to pull a match off like they just did with the things that they did to each other. With the spots that were called in that match,
name the one biggest spot that you really enjoyed.
Oh man, I like the falling through the stage spot with Adam coming out and then punching a hole on the side of the stage and pulling O'Reilly out.
Yeah, now because do you think he was supposed to do that? Like, punch a hole to the wall? Because I've never seen anybody do that. You know, to get somebody out of that. You know?
No, I didn't. I think he was supposed to do that. Because it was very obvious it's just drywall. Drywall with no reinforcement right there. So I think that was put there on purpose so it would look like he's so, you know, determined to get at him that he's, mm-hmm. you know, able to punch through a wall or punch through this, you know, this ramping to try to get at O'Reilly.
I remember the finish with the knee wrapped around the chain.
With the chain wrapped on him through the chair.
Yes. My man was shaking, yo. He was shaking. He was pulling the D-Von. It was like, oh god,
yo.
The Bolson in the ring.
mm-hmm.
I think my favorite spot would have to be the clothesline with the chain.
Yeah. Oh, again. They made that chain.
I mean, nobody
work.
Really, no, I've never anybody use a chain that like that. Like, that's, you know, that's what I always talk about wrestling. Like, wrestling is one of those few sports that you can be creative in. I say sports because they have to be athletic and still have to do things, you know what I'm saying? But that is.
Right. But yeah, you can look at something and go, like, all right. We have this item. We could use it in a match. Do we try to use it like how everybody else mm-hmm. has used it? Or is there a new way to use this item? You know, everybody uses a chair like this. And everybody would be too scared of that spot.
You said trust. You got to trust the person that he knows how to give this, and he's going to take it, and the person knows how to take it. That's the amount of trust you would have in that person. And, like, for you to trust that person to yank this chain across my throat as I'm running, like literally a clothesline. That's a literal clothesline. Mm-hmm. And, you know, for you, bro, that was crazy. And the shining wizard on the chair was crazy. You know what I'm saying? It wasn't that big of a spot, but the shining wizard, he's sitting on the mm-hmm. chair. He just runs the shining wizard and he falls back into the top of the other chair. Bro.
Yeah, it was this whole, man, like I said, they came up with some unique stuff. They definitely did their homework for this match because they had to have inspiration. Mm-hmm. I don't, you know, they had to have inspiration from somewhere to think of stuff that they came up with. But, like, they really showed, like, you know, and I don't get me wrong. I think the story was also a good story too. You know, the betrayal of Kyle O'Reilly from Adam Cole. You know, how Adam Cole felt like, you know, oh yeah, as soon as you had the opportunity, you started going for the title and stuff, forgetting about how this was supposed to be all about, you know, us achieving, but, you know, really it was all about me. I wanted to be the champion. I should be the champion. I deserve the title. You know, you're standing in my way, and then kind of going from there, and then just, you know, the amount of
Adam Cole was contradicting himself. Between the two. He's like, I want you to be the lapdog, but I don't want you to be the lapdog. You know what I'm saying? Like, okay, right. You got mad that you saw that felt like Kyle O'Reilly was just okay being complacent by, you know, standing in line with you. And then when he finally gets a title match, you get mad that he gets a shot. Okay, then you get mad when he decides, like, okay, you know, what we were doing, we've done everything we need to do, you know, and he wanted to add Finn because he had respect for Finn. And Kyle O'Reilly's in Cole's mind, like, bro, I want to win the belt from this dude. I don't want him to join me. You know what I'm saying? You should have asked all of us should the dude join the group before you started making leadership decisions. This is a group conversation.
Right. I know. Yeah. Like, I know.
This should have been a group conversation. Like, hey, you think we can add this dude to part of the group? And everybody raised their hand, hell no, he just ain't coming in the group. You know, he is where he is. You know, but you felt like you taking on your place to add him to the group. Nah, big dog, that's not how that works. You know what I'm saying?
I don't remember a vote. I don't remember.
That whole story was interesting. Kyle winning. It's cool because I think now this gives Adam Cole a break. This gives him like a break.
Yeah.
Oh, Tuesday, technically. Well, Tuesday.
If he shows up on Wednesday, I'm going to be so upset because you don't.
Mm-hmm.
Tuesday. Yeah, Tuesday. Sorry. This week they do start on Tuesdays. If he shows up on Tuesday, I'm going to be so upset.
I don't mind him taking it. If he takes a butt whipping and show up, that's fine. But you took a chair shot to the throat, son. And you got put out on a stretcher. You need to be you need to be gone for a hot minute.
You done.
Just like,
I bet 2 weeks minimum.
Well, however,
don't let me see you for 2 weeks.
However long Kyle O'Reilly was gone, that's how long you need to be gone.
Yeah. Go take a vacation. Go see some family. Don't come back until it's almost June.
Now, when he comes back, are they going to revisit this? I mean, because I feel like he's either he revisits this or he moves on to the main roster, bro.
I think he needs to move on. We done. Kyle O'Reilly just done put you in your place. You're done.
I mean, there's really no more. There's really no place for him on. I mean, I ain't going to say there's no place. He has a. What more can he do on that brand? You know what I'm saying? One more. He could go against Karrion Kross for the title. Should he chase the North American title? Okay. No. The tag team's out of the picture for good. I mean, so it's really not much he can do for the main roster. I mean, for that roster, except for build all the talent up.
Right. God, if he goes to the main roster, though, he better go to SmackDown.
He want everybody to go to SmackDown. You don't want nobody messing up with Raw, dog. Like, he's just like...
Okay. Did you watch Raw?
Nah, I didn't.
All right. Then you know why. I have a 3-hour show. I think we only had 4 matches.
But he would make the show worth watching. He would make the show worth watching. Whatever spot in the hour they put him on, he would make the show worth watching. I think, like, you know, Raw is missing... Some pieces, and their lack of them building Andrade, the fact that they broke the Hurt Business, but nobody in there, this is like the biggest news in WWE right now. You know, they broke up the Hurt Business, and everybody's like, "What the fuck is going on?" It's so much going on for Raw that they are just. People are losing interest. That's why SmackDown is getting the bigger ratings.
Right.
Because number one, it's 2 hours long. and you're giving us a better show or giving us a better product.
Right. More matches, more meaning, more story.
And the talent is...
I'm getting the same stuff.
And the talent is better on SmackDown. It's just that simple. The talent is better on SmackDown.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Right. Like, you took Kevin Owens and Seth Rollins and Cesaro. You moved all of them to SmackDown.
Cesaro.
And the names are for the name on there that's on Raw. There's nothing wrong with these people on Raw. It's just not enough of them. It's you know, AJ. Right.
Or the feeling, or they just want them to do silly shit.
You know, AJ, Sheamus, Matt Riddle, who else is on Raw outside of Drew and Bobby Lashley? That is like, that can lift that show to the next level, man.
I mean, look at that. Think about it. You got Shelton Benjamin just sitting there. What's Shelton Benjamin doing?
Well, now he's doing nothing now because they just split the whole group up. So now what?
Nothing. Right. But I mean, like, why are we not putting him in matches? Why are we not making him help develop people? You know what I'm saying? You have all these people sitting at Raw, and you're just wasting 3 hours doing nothing when half of the show is spent retelling me what happened in the first hour. That is a waste of time. You didn't show up to watch the first hour, and you show up to watch the second and third hour. Well, you better catch up through context clues.
Yeah, and that's it. It's bad.
And that'll teach them. Right, and that'll teach the viewer, if I want to know what's going on, then I need to watch the whole thing.
But I think Adam Cole would...
Right now I can tune in the last hour.
Adam Cole would help Raw. I mean, they need all the help they can get right now. So you put Adam Cole on the show. Hey, you put him against AJ Styles. You put him against Riddle for a little bit. Or you put him against, Sheamus. When Keith Lee, whenever he comes back, he can help that brand.
But
you just got to let him
going to that brand isn't gonna what's gonna help that brand. What's gonna help that brand is allowing him and the people who are already on that brand to do what they do best. And right now, that's not what's happening. Because, I mean, if you take out all that silly stuff and you watch their, like, those matches, the Raw matches on pay-per-views, the Raw matches are good matches. Mm-hmm. But you would just never tell that if you were just watching Raw and never watched any of the pay-per-views.
Mm. Well, I mean, WWE has a decision to make. I mean, moving forward, they got to make a decision, dog. But I feel like they put themselves in a hole. Yeah. They can't go back to 2 hours. It's just, to them, it doesn't make...
No, they'll never go up. They'll never go back.
Like, once they stepped in, they opened that door of going 3 hours, they can't go back. Because to them, that looks like a failure.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
But, I mean, I think we've gotten off topic.
Well, here, yeah. So. I mean, I know fans are like, okay, whatever. All in all, NXT, Stand and Delivered. It did that.
I think I preferred night one over night two.
Yeah, I give you that. I give you that. Night one was a solid. Night one was a little bit better than this, night two. But I do love the title Stand and Deliver. Like, this, the pay-per-view was Stand. And I felt like night one should have forced people in night two to, hey, we got to do better than night one.
Right. And considering night one was free.
Yeah. You know, you had
night one
you
was
had
free.
To.
That was free TV.
Yeah, night two should have really stepped up their game. And I'm not saying that it had, I mean, we're not saying it had bad matches. It just wasn't better than night one.
Right.
Okay, let me say this. The only match in night two that really took over was the Cole and Kyle O'Reilly.
Right. Yeah, that was probably the top match for night two.
You know. But everything else from night two was, you know, they didn't stand and deliver. So,
I mean, they stood. They didn't have anything to give you.
Well, then what's the point if you didn't stand and deliver?
Stand and deliver. Well,
all right. So we had to get.
Let's give this.
Let's give this star rating here. 1 to 5. You want to do?
Are we talking overall?
You want to do overall?
Overall or each night?
No, let's just do overall because we are going to give like night one like 5 stars and night two like 3, if anything, because only one match saved it. So if I had to put it all together, for me, 4.
Yeah, I would go with 4. 4 makes the most sense. Because if you had like you had a really strong showing on night one, you had not so much of a strong showing on night two. You averaged that out. I give it a 4.
They lost stars. Like so normally the show starts out with 5, and as the match progresses on, it either loses stars or it keeps the star. And night two was losing stars, but that
right as night one was
maintained. Yeah, and then that but that Adam Cole even I think it was I still think it was too long. It might have been too long.
I think it was... I don't know. I think it may have been too long because the match before it was too long. I don't think if...
I think night two shows... Night two shows matches were shorter than night one.
Better paced. I think they were better paced. Yeah, because I think you had more matches on night one with a 2-hour night than you did on night two with a 3-hour night.
I guess. It felt like that cold match felt long, bro. And at some points I was getting exhausted. And you're watching and you're getting only thing was keeping me intrigued was the hot spots that were coming.
I think it wouldn't have felt as long if the Balor cross match wasn't as long as
that felt short to me. That one felt short.
That one felt long to me. That one every time I was like, damn, it's still going.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, I just felt that one was too short, and then because I'm looking at the time, I'm like, dang. I got 30 minutes left. 30 to 40 minutes left. And I'm like, and this is the last match? Oh, I'm in there for the long haul, bro. Yeah. That's exactly how I felt. I was like, okay, I'm watching Balor. 10, 15 minutes. Okay, cool, bet. Then look at what time. Oh, my God. 45 minutes. Oh, jeez. We're going to be in there for the long haul. They're going to take up the whole night, bro.
Yeah, I mean, a whole third of night two was dedicated just to that match.
Pretty much. But we want to thank you guys for sticking around with us for an hour and some change. Thank you. We hope you enjoyed the show. Me and the supervisor did the best we could to give you all the status effect, all the facts, all the satisfaction of our faction that we possibly can. I am like tongue twisted right now. My words are not even coming out. My mind says it, but my mouth won't say it. But
I guess that means it's time to clock out.
Yeah, I guess it's that time. So we hope you enjoyed the show. We'll be back in a couple of days with our thoughts on WrestleMania. We hope you enjoy both night one and night two. And you guys have a great day or night or morning, whatever time you get to the show. We out of here.
Peace.